From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, geoengineering. What are they trying to do to us? Here's what's happening. The number of people killed in China by that new coronavirus has now risen to 81 with almost 3,000 confirmed ill. And the U.S. State Department is warning against visiting China and said Americans should not travel to the Hubei province, given that province city of Wuhan is ground zero for the new deadly coronavirus. And the State Department has already ordered the departure of all non-emergency U.S. personnel and family members from the province, and the U.S. government has limited ability to provide emergency services to its citizens there. Dr. Gary Ridenour with us. Gary, let me ask you about this situation. How bad is it really?
Well, George, you know, oddly enough, in my notes today, I said, you know, maybe we should start worrying when there are thousands of people with it, and it looks like we're hitting it. And this is a new virus, and it's in the same family as MERS and SARS. And you and I have ridden these ponies for 10 years at least, the viral ponies.
Well, the CDC reported back in 2017 that 80,000 Americans died from the general flu just in this country alone. 80,000 people. They said it was one of the highest ever. Now, if we were to report that 80,000 people were going to die this year from this coronavirus, people would be panicking like crazy. Nobody does anything with the regular flu.
They certainly would, because of the fact that they don't know anything about this flu. They don't know what animal it came from. Wuhan, China has been quarantined, which is not the way to go with this thing. They're talking about a vaccine, but we've been down the vaccine road numerous times, and nothing has worked.
Now, would you say the mortality rate for this virus is high?
81 dead out of 3,000, no, not yet. Example, HIV killed 36 million since 1980.
All right, good point. Gary, thanks. Dr. Gary Ridenour, his website, pandemicdirect.com. In a moment, Dr. Charles Simone joins us to talk about this virus as well. We'll take your calls later, too. Yesterday, when I was at Alien Snowfest in Big Bear Lake, California, my phone started ringing off the hook. The people were texting me and everything else, and it was the story of former Los Angeles Laker great star Kobe Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash. Well, now we know that the helicopter that Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others were aboard when it crashed in California Sunday was reportedly approved to fly through the dense fog, even though the weather conditions were really bad. The helicopter was given a special flight clearance to fly through the fog from Orange County toward the Los Angeles area, which meant they could enter the Burbank airspace. And that's what happened. The horrible crash. Very tragic situation there. Three rockets slammed into the U.S. Embassy in Iraq's capital on Sunday, and the first direct hit reported after months of close calls as thousands of protesters kept up anti-government sit-ins across the country there. President Donald Trump's fellow Republicans in the Senate came under fresh pressure to allow witnesses in his impeachment trial, while his defense team took aim at Democrats' accusations that he moved a pressure campaign against Ukraine for his own political ends. Meanwhile, President Trump has denied telling John Bolton that he would only give Ukraine security aid if he was helped with a probe into Joe Biden. The president claims Bolton was lying about the aid to promote his book, which is set to be released in March. Meanwhile, the impeachment trial continues. Now, to the rest of the world, Americans are often thought of as an excessive and wasteful in their eating and overall consumption habits. And a recent study is lending some credence to that belief. According to research led by agriculture economics professor Edward Zenke of Penn State University, the average American household wastes nearly a third of its food supply. Experts have found a shipwreck in the River Vistula in Poland that may date back to the medieval era. The vessel, which is 121 feet long, 20 feet wide, found in a stretch of the river, it could be 700 years old. It's amazing. What else is going on in the skies these days? Let's check in with astronomer Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. Hi, Stephen.
Hello there, George, and we begin with space. Lots of information on this particular edition, but SpaceX, George, is looking to darken Starlink satellites. And last week and weeks before, we talked about how astronomers have great concerns with the number and brilliance of these satellites, and SpaceX has come up with an interesting solution to the visibility problem of these internet communication satellites. What they're going to do is simply make them dark satellites. George, back on January 6th, SpaceX launched 60 satellites with this special coating. We're not sure what it is, but the problem that many, even in the aerospace industry, are wondering about, dark paint simply absorbs heat, and that's not a good thing for onboard electronics, especially if you're trying to do internet communications. And some of these technical coatings, I should say, one of them is called Vantablack, and another strange one is called Aeroglaze Z306. They may work. But, George, can you imagine 1 gallon of that stuff, the second one, Aeroglaze? It costs $270 a gallon. But right, George, what the heck, when you're building multi-million-dollar spacecraft, that's not a lot of money. But dark satellites can interfere with observations of exoplanets, and radio astronomers are still concerned about it. But folks, and George, get set. The next launch of another 60 of these spacecraft, satellites that is occurring this week. And the launch of this particular Starlink is known as V1L3, a mission. And if it's successful, I'm sure it will be, there'll be some 240 of these in space. On to space news. We continue on this date. Back in 1967, George, we, of course, lost the crew of Apollo 1, officially known as NASA's mission AS-204. We always want to memorialize the astronauts Grissom, Chaffee, and White. And then, of course, on the 28th, the loss of the Challenger crew. As we wrap it up, George, we talk about the sun. The sun, this particular solar cycle, is nearing its end. And a few new sunspots have been detected from the new cycle called Cycle 25. But so far, the sun is in that sluggish mode. So far this year, George, 16 days of this particular month or new year have been spotless. Something is very unusual with this solar cycle. Live Sky, we wrap it up. We find out that Venus and Neptune were the closest of the closest conjunctions that we'll have of 2020. That is in the telescope. They appear to be in the same field of view. But folks, on Tuesday night, and George, look into the southwest sky after sunset. You'll see Venus and an incredible thin sliver of moonlight, a beautiful conjunction. The morning planets, dusk before dawn, both Mars and Jupiter getting brighter in the southeast sky. Dr. Sky reminds everyone, of course, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. Email me, appreciate that, drskyshow@gmail.com. And we always promote these two great websites, theskylive.com and wikisky.org. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you, Dr. Sky. We'll talk to you next Monday. A story we have on our highlight reel in the carousel at coasttocoastam.com. The late Coast to Coast AM founder Art Bell has been honored with a memorial plaque at a park in Nevada City of Pahrump, where he lived. The radio personality, Art Bell, who passed away in April of 2018, was a longtime resident of the community and famously broadcast from his home there. The marker, which was unveiled by Nye County on their Facebook page this past Friday, is located at a iPark and was funded by a group known as Friends and Fans of Art Bell, with additional financial support and installation provided by the county. Take a look at that great picture, the plaque that we've got at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about our guest, Dr. Charles Simone. He's one of the few individuals on the planet with formal training in medical oncology, radiation oncology, immunology. His expertise in nutrition, cancer prevention, cancer detection, and is one of the first physicians to champion integrative medicine. Dr. Simone combines effective conventional alternative modalities, and that's the way to do it. Dr. Charles, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So 80,000 Americans in 2017 died from the so-called normal flu. Now that sounds outrageously high to me.
Well, normally every year in this country, we see 40 or 50,000 deaths from the normal flu all the time.
Why isn't the media bringing that out as a story? They're making this coronavirus sound like it's the end of the world.
Oh, they want to sell newspapers.
Jeez.
But, you know, the key thing, though, with the coronavirus today is I just learned that China has shut down the exit and entrance of their own people, not only from the front province that you mentioned and the city, but also the country. That's what I understand. And the most important thing that we learned recently is that the incubation period is no longer 2 to 5 days, but rather 1 to 14 days. And during that incubation period, the patient, the person who is infected, has no symptoms whatsoever and still is contagious. So they could come into this country weeks ago, had no symptoms, and now are contracting the virus, or even in China. So the key thing is we need to watch these people who have come into our country from several weeks ago, not when they declared the emergency, but several weeks ago when they were transporting themselves back and forth, and watch them, find out where they've been, who they've been contacting, and so we can see. Now, we're seeing more and more people in our country pop up with this virus. I think it's still underreported. People are going to view it as the normal flu and not the so-called coronavirus in the emergency rooms around the country and around the world. The key thing, again, two-week period of incubation. They are symptomatic. Mm-hmm. They're not symptomatic, rather, and they're contagious. That's the key thing.
Well, we've got, what, 5 confirmed cases in the U.S. already?
At least that. But
that we know of.
That's what we know of. Again, like I said, people going into the ER with the flu-like syndrome or their primary care doctor, the doctor may not recognize it as coronavirus, not even think about it as coronavirus.
Exactly.
So they're going to view it as flu-like syndrome, period, which it is, but they're not going to identify it as such. So the numbers that are being reported by China and the numbers being reported here are probably far less than what the actual numbers are.
Just by looking at someone, doctor, coughing and wheezing, can the average person tell the difference between a coronavirus and the regular flu?
No, not at all. They're very similar in how they present themselves in the emergency room or in the primary care doctor. But there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself. We can't rely on our government. We can't rely on statistics and computer models. There is a computer model, by the way, that shows that at least 200,000 people have already been infected. Far cry from the 3,000 reported by the Chinese government. So the computer model suggests 200,000. It's probably close to it, perhaps. We don't know that. But we need to help ourselves. We need to protect ourselves, enhance our immune system with certain vitamins and minerals like antioxidants, the carotenes, lutein, lycopene, copper, zinc. These are the key things. Even zinc by itself has been shown in hundreds of thousands of patients in multiple studies. If they take zinc 50 to 70 milligrams once a week, you can not only decrease the risk of contracting the virus, but also the risk of mortality from a virus. And that's being done all around the world in general, and that's what we have looked at for a long time now. Zinc lozenges are also another form of administration of zinc, getting the zinc exactly to where you need it in the oropharynx.
Doctor, the mortality rate is about 2.8% based on the numbers in China. Is that unusually high for a virus?
No, it's not. But again, these numbers, I think, are quite underreported. So we're going to see much higher numbers soon.
Has China been doing all it can? I kind of think maybe they knew about this before anybody else did, before.
It's written that the virus was known in early December, and we just heard about it from China a week ago or so.
And I had heard that maybe it came from a snake in a market or a bat. What do these people eat?
From an animal to a human, but it really doesn't matter. Now it's gone airborne from human to human. Key thing also is when you see somebody who might be infected or who is suspected to be infected coming from a province in China, you might stay away from them while they're talking to you. The droplets coming from their saliva when they speak
about
5 feet have these latent viruses. So you need to keep your distance when people are talking to you who you might think might be infected. Also, wash your hands and, importantly, wash your face. Viruses, we keep touching our face all the time, so we need not only to wash our hands, but also our face.
What concerns you the most, Charles, about this situation?
Well, the fact is it's a new virus. It's probably going to be one of the many 200 viruses that will be part of the flu-like syndrome in our country around the world. There's already 200 known viruses that can cause flu-like syndrome. This may be simply another one added to it. 201 viruses causing this. The problem we have with vaccines, at best, flu vaccines might be effective only against influenza A and B at this point, and that represents only about 10% of all circulating viruses that cause the flu-like syndrome. Even if we developed a vaccine here with the coronavirus, vaccines are effective for the virus it was made from. 10 to 14 days later, there's a new mutation of the virus. So the vaccine that you just made today will not be effective in a person 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later.
What are the possibilities that this is some kind of pharmaceutical scam to get a vaccine out?
Well, there's two companies that have been in the news media talking about a new vaccine for this drug, for this virus. So who knows about that? You know, I really don't know that for sure. The point is, don't rely on vaccines. Rely on things that you can do yourself.
Absolutely.
Good hygiene.
What's going on these days with Big Pharma?
Big Pharma, you know, we have seen for a long time that Big Pharma says that a drug to take to market costs $1.3 billion. And that's been a myth, as shown by Andrew Witty of the pharmaceutical industry from GlaxoSmithKline. He says of that $1 billion, it's one of the greatest myths of the industry. It's not been shown to be the case at all. When you look at the actual cost, the high amount of profits that a big pharma would have made if they invested in stocks and bonds is $650 million. So you subtract that $650 from $1.3 billion. That leaves you with $650 million. Taxpayers subsidize the greatest amount of these dollars through academia, through public laboratories like the U.S. National Institutes of Health, CDC, et cetera. All that information is in the public domain that Big Pharma can grab for free. There are credits and tax deductions that are granted to the Big Pharma as well. When you subtract those dollars, taxpayer dollars, from the $650, you're down to $325. And the bottom line is, it costs about less than $125 million to bring a drug to market. So that's the big scam there. But let's look at the most important drugs that cost the most to American taxpayer. There's 10 of them that are administered in the hospitals and 10 administered by doctors in their offices. When you look at these drugs, I've color-coded it for your listeners. When you look at these drugs, you can go to drsimone.com and look up the reports on this. When you look at this, you will find that the key thing is we know that many of these drugs have minimal effectiveness. For instance, I'll give you one example.
Okay.
Hepatitis C. Everyone thinks we're curing it. What the pharmaceutical companies call as cure is simply this. If you can decrease the viral load for about 12 weeks after the drug is administered, then you call it a cure. That's what they call it, a cure. Now, that's simply not the case at all. But the point is, they've not changed the outcome. They've not changed the morbidity of the virus. They simply lowered the amount of this virus in the bloodstream. That doesn't help us. The cost of this drug in this country is $98,000. The cost of it in India is $78. Same drug.
Whoa.
$78 in India. $98,000 in this country. That's a 12-week course of treatment. So that is what we have to start getting after.
That's crazy.
That's terrible. Terrible. And that's what we have to start looking at. Again, there's 20 of these drugs that consume the most amount of money. And in this PDF format that I have, I've color-coded these drugs and showed that certain drugs don't even work. Some should be used. And others, if you're going to use them at all, then shop around. In Canada, these drugs are almost half of what we pay here. In the UK, it's even less. And in India, it's a fraction of it all.
It seems like the cheaper drugs seem to work the best here.
Well, you don't need a lot of fancy drugs. You know, all you really need, if you look at the World Health Organization list of drugs needed in a third world country, the list is quite small. You can get away with 15 drugs and do cardiovascular disease, cancer, and many other diseases with a handful of drugs. They're inexpensive. We just promote these drugs like crazy. You This is how it works.
Hold on for a second, Doctor. We're going to come back in a moment. Did you know that about 90% of all school shootings have occurred with the individual taking some kind of prescription psychotropic drug? We'll be back with more with Dr. Charles Simone in a moment. Next hour, of course, we'll take your calls with Dr. Charles Simone about the viruses and other things that we're going to be talking about. As a matter of fact, he believes 90% of all school shooters who are taking some kind of psychotropic prescription medicine. That is really unbelievable. But we'll be back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Tom's with us here. Tom, what a great plaque in Pahrump honoring the late Art Bell.
How fitting and how cool that they did that. Just superb.
Yep.
Really great.
Done by fans. They raised most of the money for it and put it together. There's a bench that they put there and everything else.
Speaks a lot about the audience. Really
yep.
does.
Oh, it's the best. As you could testify from the Alien Snowfest this week.
Great fans up there, too, absolutely.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Charles Simone. He'll be with us taking calls next hour. This is a outrageous percent of 90% of all school shooters on some kind of psychotropic prescription medicine. What does that tell you, Doctor?
It's a problem. One of every five people in this country are taking psychiatric medications to a tune of $300 billion a year. That's the big market. That's a big market to protect. 90% of these school shooters have been shown to have been taking these drugs. Now, what are these drugs? These are household names you hear about all the time. There are 31 of these prescription psychiatric medicines that have been shown to induce violent behavior, accounting for 79% of all violence cases. Chantix. You see it on TV all the time. It's an example of the varenicline class. This is 18 times more greater than the other drugs combined. Prozac, number two. Paxil, number three. Next are nine more antidepressants, six more sedative hypnotics, and the attention deficit drugs, amphetamines, Adderall, Ritalin, Fluvox, Ambien to sleep, Singular for an anti-allergy medication, Seroquel, and, of course, oxycodone. These are the major drugs that are causing this violent behavior. Well known, all these drugs now have black box warnings on the label. But, again, they've gotten through the FDA. They've been approved by the FDA with this black box warning. But anything to get them through, that's what they do. The blood of school shooters and all other shooters should be evaluated for these psychotropic drugs. Screening for gun buyers should include blood tests for these psychotropic drugs as well. So these drugs should be screened all the time. And we also find that they're not even effective in depression. When you look at the antidepressive effects of these things, of these medications, they're ineffective in children and teenagers, for which they shouldn't even be prescribed.
They make you more depressed, don't they?
That's right, and more anxious and more worried about suicide, suicide ideation, and actual suicide. The key thing is, even in the most severe cases of major depression, for which antidepressants are actually approved, they're not even effective compared to placebo. So the published reports claimed positive results, even though there are negative trials that have been either left unpublished or distorted due to positive results.
Charles, I'm talking about geoengineering with my next guest later tonight and his thoughts on just what's happening to the climate. But you take a look at that too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We do. You know, the problem with the climate change story, it's been wrong for a long time. The key thing here is that governments, even though governments and Nobel laureates focus on carbon taxes and carbon print, the real emphasis should be on minimizing and eliminating methane. Now, some of the super rich people also talk about this, shut down the coal mines, things like that. That's simply wrong. Methane is the key thing. Methane is 30 times more powerful a greenhouse gas and potent than carbon dioxide ever. So what we need to do is focus on methane, look at the sources of methane, and try to eliminate that. What do we know? What are the major sources? Cows and other grazing animals, you've heard about that. One thing you mentioned just a few minutes ago, rotting food.
Yeah, we waste a third of our food supply.
Right. The average American family of four in America wastes between $1,500 and $2,200 per year. If they're making $40,000, $50,000 a year, that's a big chunk of their money they're just throwing away.
Sure is.
The third source of methane in this country and around the world are termites.
Termites? Really?
Yeah.
Tell me.
So President Trump wants to clean the forest up with all the dead wood. He's not only cleaning up the forest for dead wood to prevent forest fires, but at the same time, you're getting rid of termites that contribute the third most contributory cause of methane. And finally, the fourth cause of it is thawing permafrost. So these things we have total control over. The number of cows in our country is minimal compared to Brazil, China, and India, where cows are 65% all the cows in those countries. So we need to devise a system of methane taxes and credits, just as we have done for carbon emissions. So those countries should pay a lot more into the system than our country. Again, to be healthy, we need to cut back on four-legged animals in our diet. To be healthy and have a better climate control, same thing. But food waste and throwing away food when food has been expired, when the expiration really means that it's not expired at all as far as the actual food itself, but rather the taste. So we throw away food when it says expired, and we shouldn't be doing that.
How big is our health care crisis?
Huge, huge. We have a lot of control over it, but we simply elect not to do it. There are a lot of things we can do. For instance, prevention alone should be a foremost in our country, and we don't do that at all. Prevention is a critical thing, and we started a program called Kid Start program in our country. It's the first program for prevention. We go into churches, inner city churches, teach little kids about proper foods, proper vitamins, no smoking, no alcohol, no drugs.
That's smart. At a young age, how old are they?
Oh, three, four, five.
Really? That young?
Well, that's how drug addicts get their people, right? They go after young people. And that's what Hitler did. He went after young people to bring them into their groups. And if you do this early in life, you will change that person forever. And that's what we intend to do. We're working at that very hard. So to stop the healthcare crisis, there's a major program we've started. It's a seven-point plan, but Kid Start Prevention Program is at the top of the list. Then we have to take personal responsibility for ourselves. If you're overweight, lose the weight. I mean, you need to pay for extra dollars for that. If you're smoking, you got to stop or pay extra dollars for it. If you're drinking alcohol a lot, you have to pay extra dollars for it or stop. We have controllable risk factors that we must change. We have a patented program on this. And these seven controllable risk factors should be attacked and addressed by everybody. We must take personal responsibility for our own health. Good health is no accident, and we have to take care of ourselves.
No, not at all. And you mix it all together with big pharma, the high cost of prescription drugs and everything else. It is a crisis, isn't it?
It is. It is, because the big pharma guys are out there. Health insurance guys are out there. They're doing everything they can do to keep, instead of teaching prevention in medical school, we teach how to treat. Instead of being paid for prevention, in practice, we get paid only to treat. So the whole system is backwards. We need to teach prevention. We need to get reimbursed for prevention, and the whole system doesn't allow it. Big pharma's behind it. They want to keep treating drugs, keep treating diseases, and they keep bringing out drug after drug when all you need is a handful of drugs to really significantly make an impact on many of our controllable diseases.
Back to this coronavirus for a moment, Charles.
Sure.
They say that it may have started from eating a contaminated snake or bat from a market in Wuhan.
Uh-huh.
How could eating a snake or a bat get this virus?
Well, the virus was infecting the animal.
Okay.
And it really doesn't matter what snake or animal it was. It was infecting the animal, but it was eaten, and the virus is transferred to the human. We see that with feline leukemia virus.
Okay.
You can transfer a virus from an animal to a human. We've known that for a long time.
They couldn't have cooked it out or anything like that?
Well, did they cook it?
That's a good question.
They don't cook very thoroughly.
Oh, God.
Cook and kill viruses dead with extreme heat cooking. bleach, anything like that will kill viruses, but did they actually cook the animal thoroughly?
I think I'd become a vegan rather than eat a steak or a bat.
I agree with you.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? That tells you how hungry people are on this planet to eat those kinds of critters.
Well, I had to go to Cambodia for our government a number of years ago, long before it was opened up. And what they were eating were bats. They ate that every morning for breakfast.
Yeah, that was in this market. They don't know if it was a snake or the bat, but they had those things in there too.
Sure, sure. That was their food. That's their food. That's what they eat.
They're rodents, aren't they?
I went to China a number of times. I never saw a dog walking around on the streets or a cat. Who knows where those animals were?
Do they eat rats too?
Well, I can't know.
They might.
Yeah, I can't know.
They might. So what do you say to a younger person, somebody in their 20s, 30s, listening to this program right now? What's their future going to be like?
Well, first of all, the millennials have shown to be less healthy than the rest of the generations. Millennials born are defined as born from 1981 to 1996 compared to Generation X. They have higher cholesterols, higher hypertension, more depression, more hyperactivity, more alcohol, and substance abuse.
Why?
Because they just do. They eat all the wrong foods. They get more upset. They're on their little smartphones, if you will. There's more drug overdose, more suicide. They have higher mortality rates, according to this report from the Economic Consequences of Millennial Health that was just put out in November of 2019. And consequently, they have higher employment, higher rates of quitting work altogether, and consequently they become more poor. So not only are they less healthy, they're more poor than other generations. They represent the largest number of the U.S. population and the largest workforce in the United States. However, they will increase healthcare costs enormously unless they're made to take responsibility for their own controllable risk factors. And that's what we were just mentioning. You have to take your own responsibility. But this generation, not all, of course, but the generation in general has been shown to be much, much less healthy and much more poor and will make a major impact for the employer and the economic health of our country as well overall.
Gosh, it sounds like it's a huge problem for all of us.
Well, it is, because we're relying on all these people in hospitals, wherever we are, we're relying on all these people to help us, and they're becoming more and more depressed, more drug overdose, more suicide rate. We're putting up with all these things that we're seeing. Cholesterol, they're simply not taking care of themselves.
In New York, doctor, there's a high suicide rate of New York police officers. It's a baffling, horrible situation. Have you looked into that at all?
Well, in general, we know that the suicide rate has gone up in children, and there's 22 deaths, suicides per day for veterans. So we've looked at the suicide, what it's caused by, et cetera, and we realize that, again, at the heart of this matter are these drugs, these big pharmaceutical drugs, these psychotropic drugs that we just mentioned. The same list applies to the suicide group of people. Perhaps, I don't know this for sure, perhaps it's related also to the policemen of New York City. But we know that the psychoactive drugs are prescribed willy-nilly. They're not usually prescribed anymore simply by psychiatrists. They're prescribed by primary care doctors, family care doctors, and pretty much any other doctor that has a prescription pad can prescribe any of these drugs. They're very dangerous. I remember, you know, our cancer patients often are very upset, and I've been reluctant for years to prescribe any of these medications because of this. So this could be the heart of it all as well.
And with this overprescribing, aren't these people, the individuals who are taking these prescription drugs, taking too many at the same time?
They do, and they mix and match. They do alcohol as well. The FDA should remove the drugs for this reason. Their mission is to protect the public health by ensuring the safety, efficacy, and security of human drugs. These drugs that we mentioned, this whole list of 31 drugs, they're not safe, and worse, they're not even effective. And until they're removed, doctors should not prescribe them at all.
What would make someone who's not suicidal, doctor, not suicidal, take these prescription drugs in higher quantities than even prescribed?
Well, maybe they feel that more is better. We hear that all the time. If one aspirin works, maybe two will be better. If one of these drugs works, one dose, maybe two will be better. If I'm going to be upset about a test, if I'm going to be upset about this or that, some other event in life. So they may overdo it. But the point is, even when they take the drugs as they're recommended, the incidence of suicide ideation and suicide and violence goes up dramatically.
Jeez, it's frightening, isn't it?
It is. Now, the people in Europe have known this a long time. Some of these drugs are not even available. They've known that the black box warning should have been put on years ago, and they did. It's just been recently that we put on the black box warning to these drugs.
If you could wave a magic wand and fix one thing, what would that be? The first thing you try to fix?
I guess I'd try to deal with Big Pharma first, and methane second, for climate change. If we can control our drugs, we'll have a better handle on this whole situation of overdoing, suicides, and things like that. But also then, third thing is prevention. Prevention perhaps might be at the top of the list. If we can prevent disease early in life, we'll not have any of these problems. Then we have to attack Big Pharma and big health insurers as well.
I was talking with Dr. John McDougall last week about methane and about cows.
Yeah.
And he said exactly the same thing you did, that it's a problem that has got to be fixed. But the lobby's too big for that, isn't it? I mean, the cattle industry's huge.
Well, all these lobbies are tremendous. Don't forget, you know, for a Big Pharma, there's seven lobbyists per elected official in Congress. Lobbyists for dairy industry. Remember the four fruit groups we used to have in the old days?
Yep.
That was dairy. One of those four groups was dairy. Now it's a sliver in a triangle. The point is, the lobbyists control so much in Congress, and we need to get rid of it. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to drain the swamp from all this stuff, but people succumb to big dollars.
Can we beat this, Charles, all these things?
We have to. We have to, as a group of people, come together, grassroots. We need to do it ourselves, take it upon ourselves, our own responsibility, help our children to help their children, to help future generations. We have to do this. We can help the climate change. We can help all this violence. We can do all this and still not give up any of our freedoms. And that's what we have to do.
We're going to hear from you next hour. We'll take your calls, of course, with Dr. Charles Simone. If you've ever come down with the flu, why don't you share that story with us as well? I've always been a believer that you build up your immune system, you're going to fight this. I have not gotten the flu shot in God knows how long, Charles, and I have not had the flu, knock on wood.
Yeah. The point is, with the flu shot, that's another story altogether. Is it effective? Remember, we mentioned there's over 200 viruses now that cause the flu, and only 10% of those viruses are the influenza A and B. Of that, if you review the data from the Cochrane Collaboration and also the Lancet Infectious Disease Journal, the questions asked, is the flu vaccine work at all? Well, not in babies, 51 studies, 294,000 children ages 6 to 24. Not in adults, 48 reports included 66,000 adults. And not in the elderly, 5,707 articles screened, 64 studies used in 98 flu season. Evidence for protection is lacking.
So, all right, the phone lines are open. We're going to take calls with Dr. Charles Simone next on Coast to Coast AM.